Welcome to your new Hollywood. You get it? Got it? Good.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is Gabrielle.
And Kia.
And we're back with the second half of our interview with pitching coach Stephanie Palmer.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you what, the first half was incredible.
Absolutely incredible. And if you haven't listened to it already, then you need to stop what you're doing and go and take a listen.
Yes, you do.
You will not regret it.
Big time. You know, I already got a lot of great feedback on it. And for those of you who haven't had the chance to catch up, Kia and I interviewed professional pitching coach Stephanie Palmer, who is a former studio executive from MGM Studios and now has her own private consulting company called Good in a Room. And basically, Stephanie coaches writers, directors, producers, and entrepreneurs, and a whole ton of other people, and how to give the perfect pitch.
You know, if you think about it, the one thing that you can do better than anyone else is sell yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And sell whatever it is that you're passionate about or you believe in. And I think that you have to be able to do that effectively. And I definitely got some really great tips from her.
Yeah, I think she was wonderful, and I recommend that everyone purchase a copy of her book. No one's paying us to say it, folks, so you know we mean it. You need to buy this book, Good in a Room, and we have links to it where you can purchase it on Amazon. Believe it or not, there are only 13 copies left. Bam!
Wow, 13 copies left on Amazon?
13.
Wow.
Thank God for ebooks.
Yes, absolutely, because you know, I have mine in my Nook, and it will never go away.
We love you, Nook.
Yeah.
Nook, we love you. Do you hear us screaming at your advertising folks?
Okay, I think they heard you.
Okay, just saying. but anyway, we're going to get to the second half of the interview, in which we are going to have Stephanie download us on her top 10 tips for pitching. So this is when you really do need that pen and paper, peeps.
Or that iPad.
Or that iPad.
Hello,
Apple. Okay, now you're flipping it on me, Kia. Now you're flipping it on me. Okay? Now, you're usually the one to say, get out your notebooks, get out your pads. And now you're flipping it on me.
I just thought I'd step it up a little bit.
Okay, not cool, because now you're trying to make me look archaic. And, you know, I was going to say, pull out your laptops and stuff. But then I said, no, she's going to flip it on me and be like, pull out your pads and your pens. Not cool.
Oh, gosh, whatever it is you need to do to make sure that you take notes and that you remember this conversation, get it going. We'll be right back.
Like what you're listening to? Then shoot an email to podcast@yougetitgotitgood.com or leave a comment on our blog at yougetitgotitgood.com.
We're back with our guest, Stephanie Palmer, who downloaded us on so much information in our previous segment. And we're going to move on to talk about her fabulous book that I've been telling everyone to purchase, called Good in a Room. And Stephanie, you started your business in 2005, correct?
That's correct.
I don't think people know exactly what your business is. So can you tell us exactly what do you do?
Sure. Well, the name of my business and the book is Good in a Room. And for many of your listeners, I know who are interested in Hollywood or are in Hollywood, they will know that Good in a Room is a Hollywood term. And it describes, it's a compliment. It's a term that agents and managers use to describe someone who pitches their ideas well.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided to name my company this when I was at MGM and realizing that I wanted to do something different. I was, as we discussed, had a really high-paced job, and I was ready for a change, but I loved Hollywood, and I wanted to figure out something that I could do to use this expertise and still help people who had good ideas pitch them more effectively.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I was at MGM, I would hear a lot of pitches that were almost ready, but just not quite there.
Mm-hmm.
And So that because there's so much competition, really studio executives are kind of looking for a reason to say no. And so I knew that there were good projects out there because some of them were coming in my door. And I definitely knew that there were even better projects out there from people who just couldn't figure out, navigate the system in which to get in.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really wanted to help people who had those good ideas pitch them more effectively and learn how to navigate the system so that they could get their ideas heard. And I think that a lot of my focus was also to increase the diversity of voices that are represented in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that this is part of the legacies of these old boy networks, and that is still alive and well in Hollywood. And so this was part of what I really wanted to focus on. And so I started my own business where basically what I do is help people learn how to pitch and move their projects forward. And so I've worked with lots of screenwriters and producers and directors. And then in the last 3 years, I've expanded. And so I also work with entrepreneurs or people who have small businesses and they are pitching to get funding or pitching to get resources that are, you know, to make their project or their ideas move forward.
As I mentioned, I actually subscribed to your website, and you were kind enough to send all of your subscribers 10 tips that you have for making the pitch process go easier or things to keep in mind, and I thought that we could sort of review them a little bit. The first one is accept the water.
Yeah. So for anyone who would like this printout, they can get it for free by going to the website, Good in a Room, and then there's a free resources tab. And if they put in their email, these will magically be delivered into their email. So the first tip is accept the water, which is so often at the beginning of the meeting, someone asks, can I get you a glass of water? And I just like to open the space up for yes. Like, just accept a little hospitality. It's a little thing, but it warms up the room and it gets things off to a good start.
Can I ask you a question? I'm the first one to say, oh, no, no, really, thank you.
Don't. No, I actually think I'm the first one. As soon as I read the first one, I was like, oh, criminy, I do that. I say, no, thanks, well, I'm good. And then there's, and
I mean,
then there's
I do
awkward
too.
Silence.
Right. Right, because they're trying to be helpful, and even if you're going into someone and you think, oh, I'm the one who's nervous, this other person probably isn't nervous, it's possible, it's likely even, that they are nervous because they don't know you. So it's like a chance, it's still two people who may not know each other meeting for the first time, and it's a way that you're saying yes, you're opening up the room, and it's giving them a little sense to settle in that brief moment where they go get the water and they take a breath and you take a breath and then you come back together.
Right.
The other benefit of having the water is that if you get caught in your meeting or you don't know what to say, it's totally natural to reach over, take a sip of water, and put it back down. And there you've just bought yourself 10 seconds in which to figure out what you're going to say next or catch back up to where you are in the story without it seeming strange.
We've always seen them do this in Capitol Hill at those testimonies.
Right. They know that technique. Absolutely. Media trainers and the political strategists, they teach that skill for sure.
Smart, smart move. I'm like, what are they drinking the water for? What's up with this? Well, now we know. Secret blown. Good tip.
Yes.
Great tip, Stephanie. The second one is don't talk business too soon.
Yes, we talked about that a little bit earlier, but it really is, business is personal.
Mm-hmm.
And so often in a meeting, especially if you're coming there to pitch to someone else, that you want to start with something warm and build some rapport at the beginning, because that's going to set the foundation for the person to really be paying attention to what you're going to say when it comes to the crucial pitch portion. So I like to go in and talk about any rapport-building topic, something you might have in common is great, asking them some questions about their work or themselves or where they're from. All those little things can warm up the room and let the person who's the buyer in the situation, the person who you're pitching to, cue when it's time to start talking about the thing you're there to pitch.
Okay.
Like they'll say something like, oh, okay, so tell me, what do you tell me about your project, or so what are you working on? What did you come here to tell me about?
Right.
Let them cue when it's time to get to that next stage of the meeting.
Okay, I think people dive in too soon also because they're afraid that they'll appear to be rambling.
Or
yes,
they feel like they
issue.
Don't.
Yeah. Stephanie said that's a separate issue.
For me, I'm very conscious of the amount of time that I think someone else has.
Mm-hmm.
So here I am. I've thought for you. I've said, oh, Stephanie has, 1 hour to give us. So I'm going to go ahead and help her out by jumping to,
It's much better to be like, okay, if I'm the executive and I'm meeting you, I want to know who is this person because it matters so much. Do I like them? Do I trust them? Could I work with them? That matters so much more than like in the third act. Are there seven scenes or are there six scenes?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
All that stuff doesn't matter if I feel like I have no idea who this person is or I just don't even have a chance to get to know who they are. And now sometimes people will jump right in with business, and that's okay. But if you can cycle back to at least a little rapport, that will help the way your pitch goes over for sure.
Okay.
Okay, so we've established that I don't accept the water, and I also tend to talk business too soon. Next on Stephanie's list is access thoughts, feelings, and experiences.
Okay, so here, when you're making small talk, and some people feel uncomfortable with small talk, a way that I like to do it is to ask a question like, what are your thoughts on this topic that you know that they would have something about? Perhaps it's a recent show or something that's in the news, or how do you feel about? What's been your experience with working with this person or working on this kind of project? Just because you're trying to ask a question that's getting them to talk more about their personal experience, not in an inappropriate way. You're not asking them their deepest, darkest secrets, but something where they're getting to talk about their experience because, of course, we all love to talk about our own experiences, and it is a rare instance when someone is present with you and really listening, and it is so flattering and it feels so good. And that is how you want that buyer, that decision maker to feel, that they're like, wow, this person really cares about me. That's how they're going to be more engaged in whatever you have to say after that if they feel like you care about them.
That's a good tip.
It is. All right, and the next one is start with silence.
Okay, well, this one's pretty clear, but that before you start with your actual pitch, you want to have a moment of silence because just having that break let your ears pick up and make eye contact with the person, and then they're making sure that they're really focused on you.
Wow. That was pretty powerful. And you just did it.
It's amazing how just a little break in a conversation there is something instinctual that your body just picks up, oh, I need to pay attention.
It's true, because you did that pause, and I literally leaned forward for a minute.
Me too.
I did.
The funny thing is we all spend so much time trying to fill the silence that we just end up talking about nothing.
Yeah, because silence is uncomfortable. And
yeah.
I'm not talking about, having a 7-minute pause in your meeting or something. But just a little break where it's like, okay, and now we're transitioning. And now I'm going to tell you something really important.
Hmm. Right.
Okay, that's a good one.
Wow.
Well, the next one you have is lead with genre.
Lead with genre is the biggest mistake that screenwriters make. Bar none, it is so common, and it drives me crazy because it is the simplest thing to do. A lot of these things are maybe a little harder, take a little more work. This one is super easy, and this is to lead with genre. So if you say, this is a story about something, 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 let me know right up front what the genre is.
Mm-hmm.
This is a drama about such and such. This is a comedy about blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know it's going south when you end the conversation by saying, and what was it again, a comedy?
Right. They could say, I heard a pitch relatively recently. Let me think if I can even tell you the titles exactly. But it was a pitch about a mob, like a gangster. And I was thinking that it was more like oh gosh, now I can't, now my brain is not remembering the titles, but it's like, I was thinking that it was more like a comedy, but they were meaning like a really serious gangster movie. And mm-hmm. so I was sort of like, oh, whoa, like these things are not adding up for me. Why would you have this character if it's this comedy, you know, like, what's the Robert De Niro, Ben Stiller, he's a CIA agent.
Oh, the Fockers.
Meet the Fockers. Like, I was thinking that it was that kind of gangster, because the way that he pitched
right,
it.
Right, not like
that
Godfather.
Kind of character. Yeah, and I was totally wrong. So it's like you can very easily, I mean, I caught up and we got back on track, but it's so easy for two people to be thinking that they're on the same page, and they're not.
Yeah. So leave and that's drama. Just, like you said, that's just one thing that you can do that can just clear things up right away.
Yeah. Make it easy on the listener.
Yeah.
Yeah. The next one is refer to a maximum of four main characters by name.
Yes. So you know your characters very well, but that decision maker is hearing them for the very first time, and it's really hard to keep track of lots of different names. It's sort of like, have you ever had a friend who came back from a vacation and they're showing you their pictures, and they're going through and they're like, oh, and this is my friend Jack, and this is his sister Lisa, and this is her mom Joe, and this is, oh, Lisa's brother-in-law, and this is Tim, and this is Frank, and this is Sarah. And you're like, well, I have no idea who these people are.
Who these people are.
Like, why? Just show me where you were and, you know, a couple pictures. It's kind of that experience when you're hearing a story pitch and there's too many different character names. Mm. So focus on the main character, because everyone can pick up at least one main character or two or three, and then refer to the other people by how they relate. So, like, the main character is Joe, then this is Joe's wife, Joe's boss, Joe's best friend, mm-hmm. instead of referring to those people by their name.
Makes sense to me.
All right, and the next one is, don't use the pitch structure of this meets that.
Oh, please don't.
Tell me, why do like you say please don't?
Personal experience with that.
It's just as bad as saying fade in. You know. It just gives me the heebie-jeebies.
So it's like, you mean...
It's corny.
Like Grey's Anatomy meets Modern Family.
Yes, type. Grey's Anatomy meets, you know, whatever.
Yeah, so I, even though lots of people do it, I don't like it, because so often the executive just listens to the idea and trying to figure out, how is this like Modern Family? How is this like Grey's Anatomy? Instead of actually listening to the original idea.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And if you have created an original project, it should stand on its own, and they should be able to understand the genre, the tone, the main characters, and they can say, oh, this does feel like a show that should be on this channel, or this, you know, this is the kind of thing it is, but present it like an original idea, not just a knockoff or a spin-off.
Right, because if you're presenting it as a knockoff, well, if it comes across that way, then I'm saying to myself, if I'm on the other side of that table, why would we already have that on air?
Exactly. Right.
Why would I take that and put it on air?
Yes.
Well, that's another good tip.
Like what you're listening to? You should check out our blog at www.yougetitgotitgood.com. Or you can always shoot us an email at podcast@yougetitgotitgood.com.
The next one is embrace the question and answer Q&A part of the meeting.
Yes. So the question and answer portion, once you've given your pitch, the question and the answer portion is the most important part of the meeting. And a lot of times people think that, oh, I'm going to answer every question that that decision maker might have in my pitch. So I'm going to talk a really long time, and I'm going to tell every detail. But what's much more effective is talking much more briefly and then having a discussion about the project, so that at that point, the decision maker is asking the things that they're really interested in. Mm-hmm. They're going to focus on the areas that they want to know more about, and a dialogue is just naturally much more enjoyable and engaging as a participant. but that also it's in this question and answer that the sale is typically made. So it's not that someone hears the idea and then they say, oh, that's someone something that I want to buy. They're also evaluating you as the creator. Is this someone who I could work with for a long period of time? Because whether it's a TV show or it's a screenwriter that's going to have their project purchased, it's not like, oh, I'm going to purchase it from you and send you a big check and we're never going to see each other again. It's like, no, we're going to have a commitment where we're going to be working together closely for a period of months or years. So I want to know that we can work together, and part of how we figure out if that's possible is in the question and answer portion.
Hmm. I think people get very nervous during that portion and feel like they're being very, very tested.
Yes, and that's the thing that is so interesting, is that if you are being tested, it means the person's interested.
Yeah.
Right.
You should be thrilled that you are getting grilled. You should be thrilled that they're like, but what about that? And playing the devil's advocate and really seeing if you have the strength of your convictions. That is the best possible scenario, even though most people feel terrified and want to, run out of the room.
That's actually my favorite part of anything, is because I feel like that's my time to really just let go of the script. And that's where it's part of where I think my personality shines most.
Yes.
In addition to giving, good qualified answers. But I feel like my personality shines, and I also feel like it's one of those places where the conversation can just evolve so many different places. And to me, the longer it goes on, the better I feel things are going.
For sure. Yep. I think you're absolutely right.
And I actually agree with that being one of your best personalities, Kia, because in one of two podcasts ago, Stephanie, Kia was sort of put on the box by one of our guests in a good way, in a good way. An actor, Amal Amin, who was in Harry's Law, had mucho questions for Kia regarding casting. And I tell you, Kia stepped up. It was like watching the U.S. Open.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely one of my favorite parts.
Yeah.
If I can get to that point, I can sell it.
Good for
that's
you.
Great.
Okay. The next one is beware of trap of who do you see in terms of casting?
Yeah. So this is a question. Who do you see in terms of casting is something that a lot of times studio executives will ask writers. And it is it's an annoying question because really the executive very unlikely actually wants to know what the writer's opinion is, because they have very strong opinions, and a lot of times casting decisions are made for a wide variety of business decisions that may or may not correlate with the actor's talent or ability to do the role. But that's beside the point. The focus is, if you're asked, who do you see in terms of casting, it's best to have a short, prepared answer that are some safe choices, like, I think George Clooney or Javier Bardem or Gerard Butler would be great, but I'm open. So just a few names of people that you like who are top-tier names, and then keep the door open, because really, it's so funny when I have asked this question, even though, of course, I'm saying, why would people ask this? I'm guilty of it as well.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes you would get the craziest answers to something. Like, I'm thinking that it really would be a George Clooney movie, and they're like, I really think there's an actor who was on Saved by the Bell. I haven't seen him in a few years, but I think he would be awesome. You're like,
Gabrielle, I know you've heard your fair share of those.
I don't even want to talk about it. But
gosh.
We wouldn't throw that down in the room, to be honest with you. And here's my question to you about this tip, Stephanie. Don't you think it sometimes gives the wrong impression that you're taking it even to the level of talking about casting? Does it give them some sort of false hope?
It could be. I think that's probably true.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a good point too. And I think that you can't go wrong when you're with a big decision maker to turn a question back around to them and be like, gosh, let me think about it. Do you have ideas?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about this?
Mm-hmm.
Then you're safe. You're totally safe by inquiring what they think.
I'm also scared that I might be one of those people who would say, there is this guy I saw on Saved by the Bell. I'm fearful that I might be that person. Oh, my God, I'm going to struggle with myself tonight. The next one is save a surprise for the end.
Yes. So this is hard and doesn't work in every situation. But if possible, you want to have a little something saved up for the very end of the meeting so that you can transition out on a good note. So some things could be like a callback to a personal topic that you had at the beginning, like if they're going on vacation, you say, you know, I hope you have a wonderful time in Hawaii, or thank them for something that you learned during the meeting. Or if you have a piece of material like the pitch written down that they haven't seen before, that's possible to also leave, but I'm generally not a fan of written leave behinds, as they're referred to.
Can you tell me why?
More like, because I think that a leave behind, a lot of times that is just a tool for the executive to give them something to pass on.
Okay.
If they're interested, they should have you. You should be the one pitching your project. Like if they say, oh, I want to send this to my boss,
mm-hmm.
say, I would be happy to come back in and meet with you and your boss anytime.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it's, oh, I want to give this to my boss, and it's on a piece of paper, it's just so much easier without you there being your, like, you two charming, charismatic, passionate selves who love this idea. It's not nearly as powerful as, you know, a one piece of paper that just tells the plot.
Well, you know, I've also told my students that when you do leave that behind, you know, whatever the circumstances, if it finally comes down to you having to leave something behind, that is the only representation of you.
Yes.
It is the only representation of you. So all kinds of assumptions and things are going to be made based on that one piece of paper.
Yes.
And that's scary.
So yeah. Let me ask you a question, because I'm not on the development side, but for you, Gabrielle, is it standard that someone would leave you something?
No, not usually. I mean, what I appreciated sometimes, well, people were pitching television concepts to us anyway. I mean, it was different from film.
Uh-huh.
But what I liked, and I very rarely heard this, was that people would pitch some ideas, and whichever ones you felt, you know, were of interest, they'd say, I'll send you something on this.
Mm.
You know, I'll send you a one sheet on this. One of the best companies that pitched us, I believe it was, I'm going to name them. They're no longer in business, but they're great. They were great. City Lights. They would do that. They would pitch some really fabulous ideas, and whichever one you showed interest in, they'd say, we'll create a page for you on that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I like that.
I liked
it. That sounds nice, because it also feels customized.
Yeah, I do like that.
Special to you. Like, they're going to go the extra mile, and that feels good.
Yeah, it did.
That's why you remember them.
That's why I remembered them. That and, you know, another side note, Stephanie, I don't know if that happened to you, but they did something that I considered highly unusual, pretty risky, but it worked. But mind you, this was for, like, teen programming. They came in with what I call a dinger. It was this little contraption, and it was really to lighten up the mood, I believe, where you had the choice of switching the switch to do boo, yay, or eh, you know. And they said, you just hit that dinger, you know.
Like the iCarly thing.
You just hit that dinger, you know, depending on how you're feeling. And I thought, what a great to break the ice. You know, and it's risky.
Funny.
It's funny, but it's risky.
That's really funny. That could go either way, huh?
Well, no, yeah. I mean, you know, I wouldn't do that pitching to a film executive because, you know, chances are, and you tell me this, the percentage of Stephanie, maybe 99% of the time is going to be like, boo, thank you for your time.
Well, you know what's funny is that while I wouldn't recommend using one of those, even though that's really funny, and I wish I had one just on my desk for my own amusement, I think that a thing that many people find frustrating, but that is true, is that it's an experience of most studio executives is that if they are not interested, they will say, let me think about it. It is very rare to hear someone actually say no.
Well, no in the room, exactly, yeah.
Right,
no,
not,
yeah,
in
no, not,
not
in the room.
Not in the room. They may pass later, certainly. And
you
hope that you get a final answer, certainly.
Mm-hmm.
But that a lot of times, let me think about it, is a signal that they are not interested. But as you talked about before, when they're being grilled and they're asking lots of questions, that's the best sign that they are interested and they want to know more. And they're starting to think, could this person be in the room with my bosses who are going to really grill them, you know, like you're already doing the test because you're starting to think, could I take this person? Could we go the next step?
Yeah. Wow. All great stuff. Hey, peeps. Gabrielle here. If you're enjoying listening to the show, we'd love it if you'd follow us on Twitter. We're at U, the letter U, get it, got it, good. And we'd love to hear your show ideas, questions, or comments. Feel free to email us. We're at podcast@yougetitgotitgood. Okay, I'm out. Enjoy the rest of the show. You know, you have a bonus tip, and I was debating. I thought, if people want to know this bonus tip, they're going to have to come to your website to find out what it is. And that's what I'm going to do.
Good. Yes.
Okay.
At goodinaroom.com, they'll find free resources and other information. And I'm also welcome to, they're welcome to email me. My email is stephanie@goodinaroom.com, and I'll certainly answer any questions that people might have.
And do you have any public speaking engagements coming up that people can check out or anything?
Well, the next big one that will be in Los Angeles is I am the pitch conference moderator at the American Film Market every year, so that won't be until November. But that is always a very fun time because anyone who has a pitch, and they do not have to have representation, who attends can put their name in a hat, and then I pull their names out, and they get to pitch to me and a panel of very distinguished movie producers and executives and get their pitch critiqued. And also, in the past, at the AFM Film Conference, I have seen projects that have been pitched at that event and have gotten purchased and now gotten made.
Wow. And like, a lot of executives from networks come to these things.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Yeah. To that event, there are amazing people, both on the panel but also in the room, who are there listening.
And can I get more information on that on your website as well? Or
Not on my website right now, but I will certainly, they can go to the American Film Market website, or as it gets closer, since it's in the first weekend in November, I will certainly be adding information once the date gets closer and once the tickets are available.
Okay, great. Well, people, please go and visit Stephanie again. She's at goodinaroom.com. And Stephanie, I can't thank you enough for doing the show, really. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much.
You too, I know. I hope maybe someday I meet you and it's not one of those things when I have to pitch to you. At least not until I've had coaching from you, okay? That was Stephanie Palmer, and if we're laughing, it's because this is probably like the eighth time we've tried to record the close, Kia.
Well, because I keep wanting to shout, I love you, Stephanie. Because I don't know how else to summarize it. I just found her, I found her a delight. I found her book quite enjoyable and informative, and I found talking to her all of that in one.
Oh, yeah. No, definitely. Yeah. Stephanie, we can't thank you enough for doing the show. Folks, all of her contact information will be on our blog. We highly, highly recommend her book. No one is paying us to tell you this. So you know we mean it. Amazon.com has it. There's only 13 copies left if you're still into hardcover. But if you're like Kia and I and are totally committed to your Nooks.
Or other electronic reading
devices. Yeah, you know, whatever other readers that are out there that are, don't hold a candle to the Nook.
So wrong.
Please follow us on Twitter. We're at U, the letter U, get it, got it, good. And come and visit our blog. There you can read the stuff that we post. You can listen to the podcast anytime you like. The address is yougetitgotitgood.com. And we'd love to see you next week sometime, guys, because we've got a big show coming for you. It's time to talk about the series pickups.
Yes, it's time to find out if we were right or if we were wrong.
Well, we're never wrong.
We're never wrong?
No, we're just sort of, you know, off the beaten path.
Oh, I love that.
All right.
That's awesome.
That. Yeah, buy that, people. Buy that, put it in your wallet. Okay, okay. See you soon, folks.
All right. Have a good one, Gab.